Hi, it's Clint and Lyndon.
Welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen.
As always, our opinions are our own and should be taken with a pinch of salt.
At the sound of the Arwen cow, enjoy the episode.
There we go. Hello and welcome to this episode of Shove It Up Your Arwen. I am one of your hosts, Clint. You can find me on Instagram at ClintySkyGuy. What?
Nothing.
Have I done anything wrong?
Nope. I'm Lyndon, and I'm the other host.
Fuck off.
Pilgrim in the Mist.
Oh, there we go. You have to excuse my voice. I've been ill, but I'm all right now. So if it does go a bit funny and weird, then by all means laugh your head off and whatever, I don't give a fuck. So, before we begin the episode, do you have a magical moment?
Magical moment.
Magical moment.
Kind of. Yes, I've got two. One I can't... What?
Nothing.
Oh, sorry, I thought that you reacted as if I flicked something.
No. I found coffee and walnut cakes stuck between my fingers.
Nice. Child.
Gross.
Eating with your hands. Yes, I've got two, but one I can't talk about. So
why mention it then?
Because I have two. I just can't talk about one.
Show off.
Yeah. So basically.
Yeah, but you have to talk
about
the other
one. Yeah, what?
I have two, but I can't talk about one.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, can you talk about the other?
Yes.
Yes.
So, in the last episode, I think it was the last episode, I mentioned I was going to start praying the rosary. I am now, we're balls deep in Lent.
Balls deep. Go to balls deep.
So I've been doing it. I've missed one day where I didn't fuck you.
You've never fucked me.
No,
sorry.
I have not.
Ew.
Nope. yeah, I missed one day of not praying my rosary.
Oh, failure. How bad? How terrible, terrible, terrible. Did you make up for it though?
I guess. Yeah. In the sense that I started just doing it again.
I threw a penny at a homeless man once. That made up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a gold-encrusted brick.
Yeah.
No, I felt guilty about it. I apologised for it. I felt really, really bad. And the only way I can describe it was I just felt that it didn't particularly matter. It wasn't like... it's not like, you know, when a parent says, "Oh, you've disappointed me."
You didn't get that.
I didn't get any of that. It was just, you know, it's okay, just carry on. So I just carried on.
Fab.
So I missed one day, that's fine.
You just got back on the bike.
Just got back on the bike and just kept on going. And it's been really, really good, actually. I've enjoyed it.
Good.
I've enjoyed it. I made a slight tweak to it. It's a really annoying practice.
Holy Mary, full of grace, hold your nose and shut your face.
That's the one. Yeah.
That's it.
No, so you've got the OG version, which is the Apostles' Creed to begin. So you've got the intro prayers, Apostles' Creed, the Our Father, three Hail Marys, and the Glory Be. And then you actually get into the whole rosary.
Yeah.
Even then, the original rosary was literally 10 Hail Marys, the Glory Be, and then the Our Father, and then 10 Hail Marys. Blah, 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 and then the mysteries in between. However, now, since Our Lady appeared at Fatima, we now have to add the Fatima prayer on after the Glory Be. So you've got the 10 Hail Marys, the Glory Be, then the Fatima prayer, then the Our Father, then the mysteries, and then right at the end, there's this fucking prayer, Hail the Holy Queen.
Oh yeah, Hail the Holy Queen.
Oh my God, it's so long and so like tricky, and it's like, where did that come from?
Yeah, because it's like, Hail Holy Queen, and then you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this as well.
Yeah, woe unto us poor children of Eve, blah, 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 blah. And then after that, in the book that I've got, you've then got the Rosary Prayer.
Yeah, very fruity language, I like it.
Oh, goodness me, absolutely not.
It's a definite mental discipline though, isn't it?
Yeah, so I enjoy it, and I do the Fatima prayer. I have zero interest in learning Hail the Holy Queen. I have enough shit to learn. Thank you very much. So what I've been doing instead is singing the, you know, Immaculate Mary, Heart 7-5. My title so wondrous, fills with all desires.
No, I don't know it.
Okay, well, I do that instead. And that feels really nice.
Cool.
Yeah, sounds, I get warm great. Fuzzies when I do it.
Warm fuzzies.
So I'm taking that as a sign that it's a good thing. And then, you know. That's marvelous. But yeah, it's been good. It's been good. I still don't know the mysteries that well.
That's hard, though. The mysteries are hard.
The mysteries are hard. So instead, what I focus on is my love for Jesus. And.
Makes me laugh so much when you send me that. It's so funny. Jesus. I can't even do it. It's
my
so
love
funny.
For Jesus. Or I focus on like one of his parables that I've heard maybe that Sunday in church or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Fair.
Whatever.
Fair.
So yeah, that's my magical moment.
Cool.
What about you?
Just before we start, do you know my favourite thing about winter?
No.
Right, so one of my favourite things about winter is going out with Wayne when it's really fucking cold, right?
Yeah.
And going to like a country park for a walk where you always find that glove that someone's dropped.
Yeah.
You always find
it's
it.
It's always a random one.
Do you know what Wayne does every time and it has me in stitches? Oh, does he look, that's Fatima's hand! And it's just... best thing in the world, because we're just like, yeah, it's Fatima's hand over there, like there's a rogue glove lying around, I'm like, Fatima's hand. So anyway, it made me giggle, and when you mentioned the hand, like Fatima and all that, I just thought, oh, that's fucking funny. Anyway, our religions are there to take the piss out of. Magical moment, I'm sure I've had loads, there have been loads. Have there? Yeah, there's been loads of synchronicities because I've been off of work, so I think the thing that's been really nice is that I've now got a daily practice,
mm-hmm.
which I've not had for months and months and months and months. I've actually for a couple of years now. I've just not been able to pick it up. Life was just complicated. We had animals we were keeping that made it difficult to have a shrine. Wayne's daughter came and lived with us. Lots of things happened which just made it just awkward.
Mm-hmm.
To get to where my shrine was, I had to go through our daughter's bedroom, which just then became impossible because she's now just a 15-year-old moody teenager, which just, that's blown that out of the water. Couldn't have the shrine in the living room because we had the animals, but we haven't got the animals anymore, so... I've now got a shrine present and I've been able to do my daily devotions every day, but it's been really, really nice because on top of that, with that starting, half of my dedicant program that I've now submitted has been signed off,
mm-hmm.
and signed off as complete. I have like two sections to start and finish, and I have five other sections that just need the word count amping up a bit, just means add a bit more fruity language really, and
yeah.
You know, you can demonstrate your understanding. And I was just like, this is brilliant. Like, everything's, like, really moving. In answer to your question, actually, I'm hoping to just get on the training by the end of the year. So starting it before, so by the end of the year, I'll be on the... well into the first circle of clergy training.
Question.
Yeah, you sent me a message. I never responded.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't remember that.
You don't? That's fine.
But great. I'm really happy.
There's your answer. But yeah, my magical moment has just been like the being able to pull focus and like really concentrate and channel, and like loads of good things have come from it, like the furniture we found, and I know it's, I've got a saggy bit, mad, isn't it?
Candle, by the way.
I didn't want to explain. I was just going to leave that for people's imaginations. They can think what they want. I got a saggy bit. But, like, the furniture in here was, like, a godsend, because
yeah.
It was, like, nearly £2,000, and we got 900 quid knocked off. You know, so, like, we've managed to do so much all of a sudden, and
yeah.
It just... I can't help but think that maybe just... a little bit of the benefit has come from having that really, you know, devotional practice.
Yeah.
It's Jesus.
It's not.
It's Jesus.
Jesus loves you, yes he does.
Do you know, I used to have a volunteer in Bedford who was deaf. She was a woman from Ghana. She was the funniest woman ever. She was deaf as a post. And, I mean, she could hear you just about, but she was deaf as a post. And she used to come and volunteer, and she loved volunteering, and I loved her to pit. We used to have such a laugh. We used to sit and chat about all sorts of shit. And we were just like, I wish people would just be nice to each other. That's all we ever used to talk about. Why are they being wankers? Blah, 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 blah. Just be nice. And she's like, you need to have patience. Like, I am here. I am your patience. And it's just like, she was so lovely. But she used to sit there and I'd ask her something and she'd just sing, Jesus loves you. Yes, he does. That's all she ever sang. As loud as anything, right? And one day I was so fed up with just trying to ask her to do something. I just joined in with what she was just hanging clothes. I was asking her to stop because the rail was full and she was just piling them on top. And I was just like, stop, will you stop? And she didn't hear me. She's just singing over me. And I just thought, fuck it. So I started hanging clothes on a rail. I couldn't fit any clothes on and started singing with her really loud. It was just the best. And we got louder and louder and we was dancing and singing. And she was just like, yes, Jesus love you. I was like, does he? Whatever. I was like, I don't care. I said, but I can't beat you, so I'm just going to join you. And she was just like, just thumbs up. I was fucking brilliant. Anyway, now we've done 10 minutes of bullshit and magical moments.
What's the topic about?
Our topic today
big
is...
big gaspy whore. You whore!
I wonder where your brain goes. There's a need, it needs to be here. Yeah. Do it.
It's not that sophisticated. It's just thing pops in, it comes out.
Okay. Ew. But anyway, our topic today is clergy. So priesthoods and...
In nomine Patri Filii Spiritus Sancti.
Oh, fucking hell. I wonder whether I really want to do this episode or not now. It was my fucking idea.
Yes.
Oh, just shush. So, I kind of want to have a conversation about
whether you think
we need clergy or not.
Okay.
And I think we both have two very different ideas about it. Well, no, maybe not actually. I don't think we do have different ideas about it. But we certainly are going to come at this from different angles. One, because... you're not trying to be clergy, but you are.
They wouldn't want me.
But I'm not really sure you'd want it.
I'm too dirty.
Yeah, you filthy bitch. But I'm going for clergy, so I wonder what that conversation would be like. So
let's have it.
Let's have it.
Let's do it.
What do you think of?
Let's chew the fat.
What do you think of? Do you think there's a need for clergy?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Next question.
End of.
10 points for Gryffindor. Why? I do agree with you.
Firstly, I'm not a Gryffindor.
No, good point. Neither am I. We had this conversation. You are definitely a...
Well, okay, if we're going on the website, I'm Hufflepuff.
You're a Hufflepuff that wants
However,
to be a Slytherin.
I have the cunning to be a Slytherin.
He says. No one else has called him cunning ever, but...
But that's because I'm too cunning. They don't realise I'm cunning. You see how cunning I am?
Brilliant.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
Aha! What are we talking about? Clergy! Right. Yeah, so I do think we have a need for it. If we're going by the church, I think it's important that we have people at the top. People who devote their lives to the mysteries, to understanding the parables, if we're going on Christianity. People that, like, you've got, Wayne showed me that, I watched that video of, what was it, Extreme Pilgrim?
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah. Well, I saw the last one. So I saw the one where he goes and hangs out with the followers of St. Anthony of the Desert.
Oh, the Desert Fathers.
Yeah. And you know, they approach, they've got obviously a very strict way of doing it. They're obviously priests, they're monks, they devote themselves to following his way of teaching.
Yeah, see, that's a different thing, because they're monks.
Yeah, but they're still clergy, aren't they? To a degree. They yeah, still follow not, the mysteries.
But they're
still
not priests.
No.
Sorry, he was though. Sorry, I'm stop picking you apart now.
No. Where I was going with that is like they would be someone you would go to for insight, knowledge, and deeper mysteries and understanding. Yeah. And also they keep certain traditions alive. So the way they pray, there's a lot of semblance to the way people who worship or follow Islam pray. So they pray on their knees. They bow.
Yeah.
They humble themselves before God. Which I think is rather beautiful, and it's an old way of praying that modern day Christians don't do. And I think certain traditions like that you would only get through having clergy and other members of a higher rank, you know, being of a higher rank in a church. People that maintain these traditions, continue these practices. You know, there's information that I get from Father Mark and the other fathers at our Catholic Church that you don't get from a book, because they live it.
Yeah, because there's a difference between reading it in a book and then hearing it from the perspective of lived experience.
Yeah, and yeah. You're not just getting, you know, it's like, oh, well, you've got the black and white version of what the Bible says, but it's not, our religion isn't, so this isn't meant to be judgmental in any way, but you've got certain, and this is said with, I'll admit I'm ignorant in quite a lot of things, so take what I say with a pinch of salt. But when you look at something like Judaism, for example, Judaism is a static, so you could argue somewhat stagnant religion, in the sense that they still, to this day, follow the laws of Moses. Nothing has changed since the laws of Moses. They still follow all that. They still follow. There has been no movement. Jesus came, said he was the Messiah, because he didn't exactly fit the ideal of what their prophets had said to the letter. They deemed him, he wasn't, got rid of him, fine. They still follow the old ways of the ways of Moses. There's no breath in their religion. There's no fresh air. Nothing moves, nothing changes. Within Christianity, we accept that there are divine documents. There is, people are inspired. We have all the saints. We have God touching people in different ways. We have all this new information. Don't smile. I was touched by Jesus.
That's what I thought. That's what happened in my head.
But like, so we have all this stuff and all this information that you only get through personal experience. If it's just in a book, if it's just black and white, it doesn't breathe any life to the faith. So you need these fresh experiences. You need these people who are higher up that can take this information, dissemble it, and pass it on to the masses. I mean, that's the original point of a priest, right? Is that, I mean, originally back in the day, a lot of people couldn't read. So yeah. You had people who were educated who could read the scriptures, and then they would tell the people. It's why we've got stained glass windows. So that if you couldn't read it, you could at least look at the windows and
so
say, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think clergy is very important, one from an educational point of view, but also from a spiritual point of view. You know, these are our spiritual shepherds.
Yeah.
Do I believe then that a priest is the only one who has the power to bless things? No.
No.
However, I think that there is something to be said about like a ritual of, what's the word I'm looking for? I was going to say indoctrination, that's the wrong word. Like being welcomed into a brotherhood, that rite of initiation.
That's it.
Like what we were talking about with like baptisms and other initiatory rites. He's a priest, he's done the work. He's gone through the studying program, he's done everything. He's therefore been blessed and made a priest by, you know, another higher up and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that blessing in and of itself carries weight and will bestow on him graces that I never will.
Yeah.
Because he's gone through that. Does that mean then that I can't, although he can make holy water, does that mean that I can't bless holy water? No. It just comes from a different source. Or I don't carry the same, I suppose, Catholic weight behind my blessings as he would.
No, so the holy water from a priest would work for everybody, whereas your holy water would only work for you, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, I agree with you in that respect, to be fair.
But then there's workarounds, right? So if I took water from a holy well and then blessed it, it's still holy water.
Mm.
And that would work for everyone because it's come from a holy source.
Yeah,
because
it's not the act. It's merely the place.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of holy wells, especially around our country, have both pagan and Christian histories.
Yeah, lots
of them. So they've been used for pagan practices, they've been used for Christian practices. So, as far as I'm concerned, it's holy water.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
I can't remember the question. I knew this was going to happen.
Do we think, what was it? Something about, do we think clergy is important? Do
yes.
you need clergy?
Yes. I think so. And that...
be a bit weird if you didn't, considering you're going into the Druid priesthood.
I think it's a bit weird, full stop, because the whole point, really, of the pagan movement, or the modern neo-pagan movement, is that you don't need priests. Mm-hmm. But actually, I think there's more and more of a call to have them. I think because priests are called in a way to be the ideal version of what that should be. So they're not, they're human, you know.
Oh yeah, they're fundamentally
speak for
flawed,
the fucking
aren't they?
Self. I mean, they can speak for themselves, but like, we're not all filthy mortals. But you're only capable of doing what you're capable of doing. You're still held to a level of accountability that's more than the layman or the normal individual. So you're even more responsible for your actions if you hold a badge of office than if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're under more scrutiny. But that's because you're held in a position whereby you are the ideal version of what it is to be a Christian. And in my case, I think neo-paganism has slightly missed that. You know, there's very few role models out there for
yeah.
you to look towards. There's very few individuals who, you know, can be held, you know, as an example of what it is to be
yeah.
a good whatever.
It's mainly because of the breakdown of the whole cover mentality, wasn't it? Before you had a coven, so you had a high priest and priestess.
Yeah.
Those would be the people you would go to for ritual practice information, and then there would be other people further down the chain that would also help kind of teach you and pass the knowledge on.
But even then, in the classical sense, that would be very Wiccan. So you would have 13 members, and you would have a high priest and a high priestess. The high priestess was higher ranking than the high priest.
Mm-hmm.
And then anybody else initiated to grade 3, if they had 13 members, was, you know, then encouraged to go and start a coven. So you would actually have a high priest and high priestess, but every single member of that coven would be of the same level of initiation. They'd all be third grade Wiccan initiates. So not one of them is actually, like, in charge, apart from, I'm in charge because you're doing it in my living room. You know, so it... Again, there's no one... And what I find interesting about this holding another person to a higher level of accountability is that by seeing them held to account, it encourages you to be at the same level of accountability. It makes
yeah.
you act more responsibility, more responsibly.
Yeah.
If you're then... there's this idea of you're comparing yourself with another person, but you've got to be a fucking idiot to think that none of us do that. We all fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know, we're all comparing ourselves to this, that, and the other, and, you know, there's different levels of that depending on who you are. I might not compare myself in one way that you might do a lot, and vice versa. But having that individual that is the, you know, point of reference means that you don't have to be that, but you can aim for it. And if at least you're aiming for that ideal version, then you know you're not going to go far wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, yeah, it's good to have role models, isn't it? And I mean, effectively,
yeah.
that's what they are. They're,
yeah.
they're spiritual role models. It could be their devotion to their faith that inspires you, or it could be the way they perform ritual, or the way they pray, how eloquent they are, how
yeah.
articulate they are, or
same.
It could be whatever.
It's the same reason in Catholicism you have saints. And it's the same reason why saints have become so ingrained lately in neo-pagan practice is because they are almost like an idyllic version of how you can be, you know, really good at being a nice person and patron of, you know?
Yeah.
You resonate towards this saint, even though you're not Catholic, because they're patron of such and such and such and such, you know? I like Saint Francis because, you know, he was as close to a... He is as close to a druid as you're going to find in saints. That doesn't mean I care or give a fuck about what he said or did. I just like him out of all of them that I've come across, you know. Found out about Saint Charbel today, which I think is completely made up, but never mind. But yeah, it's like, I think in paganism, in ADF Druidry at least, there are priests. And that's why I like it so much, because these individuals, you have to go through a lot of learning to do it, a hell of a lot. And I'm only like at the beginning, and I've already done so much that I've had to do. And then you've got Obod, there's a chosen chief. Yeah, there's only one person, and she wouldn't want you, Ema wouldn't want you to like hold her to a standard. I think that would make her think, oh, fucking hell. But, you know, I'm sure she's aware that people will do, and probably do. And, you know, think of her as this individual that you have to kind of, like, want to attain that sort of level of of piety or whatever with the spirits and whatnot. But, you know, that's grand. But I think there's definitely an importance to having priests. I think the issue is that over the years we've focused too much on the corrupt priests and never ever talked about the ones that did the job properly, because they disappear into the quiet and never get spoken about. And yet there are a million times more of those guys and women, to be fair.
Well, there's loads of people that would claim that. I mean, we're not just talking about just like priests, are we? We're also talking about people that claim spiritual authority, effectively.
Yeah, how many cults have there been?
You know, we had a massive wave. You don't really see too much of them now, but I think it was, how many years ago was it? 10? Maybe less? There was a massive thing, wasn't there, of women getting crescent moon tattoos on their foreheads, just below their hairline.
It still happens.
Yeah. But like, you would literally just, it could be anyone. You could just go get a tattoo and claim spiritual authority and that you knew exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No.
No, you don't. No.
And there are bad priests who don't have a fucking clue.
Mm.
They just pass the tests to make them priests.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they, you know, it's the same as a person who's studied to become a, I don't know, let me think of something, a hairdresser. They can still be a really bad hairdresser.
Yes, you know, I work with a couple.
There we go. A beauty therapist. I was a beauty therapist, and you can still, you know, work with other beauty therapists that are really shit, but they passed exactly the same exams you did. It just because the learning's there doesn't mean that they're good at it, you know. And I think that's where you kind of get in spiritual life. There's a, you're right, love.
Excuse me. Yeah.
In spiritual life, there's a lot more flexibility in that. It's not based on any technical skill and like the things I've just mentioned, but you know, in that respect, you'd find one that you like, you know, that you get on with, that you share life qualities with, because then their life experience and their understanding of the spiritual flows and mysteries coincides more with yours as well. And there's a level of understanding between you that I think is important. So I think there has to be that. And there always has to be a teacher to learn from.
Mm.
And you can learn a lot from a teacher who doesn't have the answers, a hell of a lot. Because then they encourage you to learn it yourself rather than spoon feed you. I think there's a lot to be said for that. But I think it's something missing from paganism, which I'm really happy to find in ADF Druidry, really happy to find there.
Yeah. No, I would agree. There's there's not a lot of that, is there?
No, and I know that this is gonna be like self bashing as well, because I know there's a lot of people out there who are self-professed expert professed? Self-professed experts on stuff. I'm not here to question that. Not here to question that at all. Who go out and think, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll start a podcast. And start... sound familiar. And then start just banging on about it. And I get that's exactly what we're doing.
Yes.
I really do get that that's exactly what we're doing. However, we don't... We just share our opinions. I've listened to podcasts, especially during the week last week, where I had nothing to do but lie on the settee and listen. I think I messaged you once, didn't I? And I was like, I'm so fucked off. Yep. I'm so fucking pissed off.
Yep.
And I listened to the whole episode, and not even going to name it. And I got to the end of it, and I'm so lucky there was no alcohol in the house. Because I would have cracked open a neat gin and just drank and drank and drank. Because I was just so...
Yeah, but you see, I don't claim to be an expert in anything.
No.
Even like, so my knowledge in Catholicism, it's getting there. We're growing. I know stuff. I know some things.
Yeah, we're just sharing. This is what we're sharing.
Yeah.
We're just sharing current journeys and based on perceptions.
My knowledge in magic is much way vaster, much more than my knowledge in Catholicism. Much better! But I would never consider myself an expert. I still to this day consider myself an ignorant little pleb. I still don't think I know a lot.
Yeah, same.
Compared to a lot of people, when I hear other people talk, I'm like, oh, okay, I know nothing. And then every now and then they say something, and I'm like,
yeah. But then we get this thing, don't we? Because we talk a lot, and like when I had that interview with Ema, and we had a. We had a chat for about half an hour before the interview, a few days before. Actually, I think it was the day before, where we caught up for about half an hour to get an idea of what sort of things she was going to ask, what we were going to talk about. And she was like, we're not going to have the conversation now, but she said, because I've made that mistake before and then you have nothing to talk about. She said, but I just want to get an idea of what you do. And I said, Drew. She was like, yeah, no, but what else do you do? I was like, no, you don't get it. It's literally all I do. All I do besides work and besides, I don't know, reading is Druidry, and even the reading is based on Druidry. Like everything I do, like, is Druidry, and like the storytelling, that's for Druidry. Like everything. And she was just like, I was like, yeah, sorry. So there are times where, like, so that's kind of my hobby, as well as my spiritual practice, as well as my favourite activity, is to do something to do with Druidry and magic and sorcery. And
yeah, my hobby is mysticism and magic.
Yeah.
And I have clients that are like, what's your hobbies? What do you do? And I'm like, I read books on the occult.
Yeah, yeah. So
and I enjoy mysticism.
So me and you have got this kind of thing whereby we absorb so much information, which I think is quite funny. So we go to things thinking, oh, I'm just an ignorant little pleb, because we're always the learner.
Yep.
We hold ourselves in this position as the learner. And I'm sure there are a lot of other people who do this. I know of a few. Liz gets this as well, our mate Liz, who she thinks she knows nothing. She'd even tell you, no, I don't fucking know, fuck all. She fucking does. She's cleverer than me and you. And we go to places and people start talking. You just think, oh, fuck, I'm in the wrong room because I shouldn't have come to this.
Mm.
And you just think, oh, fucking hell. Liz said to me there was a paganism 101 somewhere, I got invited to, I can't remember now, and she went, you didn't go? And I was like, of course I didn't go. And she was like, I thought you'd have gone. I was like, no, because it would have just pissed me off. And she went, why? I was like, because I don't want to talk about the basics anymore. Which of Wonderlust did a video as well about the basics, and she was just like, I don't do intermediate videos any more than I do basic videos, because I'm so sick and tired of reading Witchcraft 101 books.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, I get that. Completely get that. Anyway, priests.
Tell us more about what a druid priest looks like. Because everyone knows what the Catholic priest looks like. What does a druid priest look like?
So it's pretty much based on community service.
Okay.
The whole thing is based on serving your community. And it's about honouring the high days and bringing that to people who want that. It's about acknowledging and honouring the gods, the ancestors and the spirits, and making that practice accessible to people in the community. That's the point. It's not about evangelizing, not at all. It's not about spreading a word. It's more, at least in my understanding, and I had this conversation with Drum, the Archdruid of ADF, and I said, the way I understand it is that, and this is what I want to do, is that you're in a position of service to your community, and by becoming a priest and doing all that work, is you are gaining all the requisite knowledge and understanding to be able to facilitate other people's spiritual journeys. And he was like, yeah, pretty much. You know, so it's not about spreading the word, or it's about facilitating for other people, you know, who also have a connection to the gods, the spirits, or the ancestors, you know, and then facilitating that spiritual part of people's lives, you know. It just so happens to be druidry. It just so happens to be animistic, and it just so happens to be built on this druid construct. I mean, a druid now is not the same as a druid in the Iron Age.
Oh, no.
They would not recognise each other. A druid would see me as some fucking dickhead doing fucking whatever. You know, there's not the same... It is not the same thing. I am certainly a new thing, a neo-druid. Doesn't mean it isn't working.
Right.
Doesn't mean that at all. But yeah... the thing I think that is missing in, if we compare it, if we compare like paganism to the modern religions or the religions which are like Abrahamic or long-standing, you know, even Hinduism and so on and so forth, is like monks, nuns, priests, priestesses, you know, people who are initiated but not in that position of delivering to the people. They're just initiated and they're in cloisters, or they're in this or they're in that, keeping something going in the background, but they're just as spiritually adept and spiritually focused as a priest would be. They're just not the public facing version. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you've got that in Catholicism. There are nuns, there are monks, you know, there are then echelons all the way up to the Pope, you know, and not all of them have a church, but all of them have to do the same work. And you know, the same with things like Hinduism. You have the high priest, and then you have the low priests, and then you have the middle priests, and then you have the like the serving boys, their version, you know, and so on and so forth. You have Zoroastrian priests, and you've got then the devotees of that. And so you've got imams, and you've got rabbis, and you've got all this, that and the other, and you've got secular things for men and women, which are not the same, which I think is really kind of interesting.
Well, I learned something the other day.
Oh, go on.
Just to digress. on the RCI, one of the people in the group asked why when we get to the point in the service where the priest reads the gospel, we cross our foreheads, our lips and our heart.
Yep.
And it was like thought, words, and from the heart, that's like where it's supposed to come from and all this kind of stuff. And I sat there and I thought, that's actually very similar to the Zoroastrianism mantra of good thoughts, good words, good deeds.
Yeah. I instantly thought thoughts, words and deeds when you said that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
when
what
said
I
that,
thought
I was
it
like,
was years
huh.
ago.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I always digress. Thought it was thoughts, words and actions. Glad to see I was right. Well, actions, feelings. You can't control your feelings, but your feelings motivate your actions. So I suppose it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I wish there were like pagan nuns and pagan monks. That'd be cool. That would be cool. There's dedicants in ADF.
Yeah,
and hearth keepers.
I mean, I think that's what we need, isn't it?
But
we need. It would be lovely to have. It sounds very kind of. I don't know what it sounds like, but like we do need. I feel like there needs to be like a school of magic.
Yeah, I'd love
that. Or like a. an actual like temple of magic or blah blah blah, so that people could go and there could be like priests or high priests or like or whatever, people you could go to, people who could aim for that level of spirituality, who would like, that would be their sole purpose, and they would know all the scripts. The only problem is that like, do you do that as a blanket thing for like quote unquote paganism?
Yeah.
Or like, what group are we doing this for? People who follow,
what kind
like,
of magic?
Dianic faiths, or exactly what kind
what
of magic?
What kind of magic? You know, you can't turn around and put one spin on it because it's a vast subject.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely vast subject. And even Abrahamic religions have magic in them.
And you couldn't then turn around and say, oh, well, okay, yeah, but we'll, all magic is equal, you know, all the gods, whatever, but we just wouldn't do like dark stuff. But then what do you quantify as quote unquote dark?
Yeah, see, that's a loaded statement in itself. All magic is equal. No, it isn't.
No.
Not all magic is equal. All magic is different.
Yeah.
And I'm not being funny, but like, my spell might be the simplest fucking thing in the world, but it might have more effect than your huge ritualized thing that was done in a room that's been consecrated with symbols drawn on every wall and on the floor with solid gold implements. Your spell may still fail.
Depends on the intent involved.
You know,
not to say that everything revolves around intent, but like, wasn't it Aleister Crowley? There's a quote around him which is something about like, an acolyte's ritual should be just as potent if it's theirs and they've made it and whatever, versus if they were doing someone else's ritual.
Yeah.
Because it's theirs.
Yeah.
It's got their heart and soul into it. They've made it. It's theirs. Versus if you're just reading from a page doing someone else's whatever, it's a bit like...
Yeah, I like it because it's that same argument that's used against people who use wands.
There is not kill myself.
There's a slippy bit of the floor that you keep falling off. What are you looking for?
I have a quote.
Oh, you have it on your phone?
Yeah, get it.
It's like that argument made against tools. And I just think, oh, fuck off. And again, whenever anybody talks about Aleister Crowley, I remember a conversation documented between him and... Osmond Spare, was it?
Was that the man who threw him down the stairs?
No. Well, it might have been. Anyway, somebody was taking the mickey in Temple, the Golden Dawn, taking the mickey out of Aleister Crowley's mate for having a wand.
Oh, I remember you telling me.
To which he pulled the glass wand from inside his jacket pocket and crippled them to the floor and racked them with pain. And, apparently Aleister Crowley was amazed by it because he was not an advocate for wands, and he would say you don't need one, and this guy just demonstrated that you're right, you don't, doesn't mean they don't work.
Yeah.
You know, it just, you know.
Here we go, Aleister Crowley on rituals. These rituals need not be slavishly imitated. On the contrary, the student should do nothing the object of which he does not understand. Also, if he have any capacity whatsoever, he will find his own crude rituals more effective than the highly polished ones of other people.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
There you go.
I think that's what's held within, like, different groups, and everybody goes, oh, I don't like this because I don't like, I don't know, let me pick on something. I don't like Gardnerian witchcraft because it's very bish, bash, bosh, this, that and the other. I prefer, let's pick another one, Alexandrian witchcraft because... there's less rigidity in it and it's more flexible and you don't have to do this, that and the other. And I just think they're exactly the same, realistically, in their theology and their ideas and what they hold as sacred. You're just looking at it from like a different point of view.
Mm.
You're still looking at the same subject material. It's just a different point of view. And sometimes I think that about bringing it back to our conversation about priests. Sometimes I think that about what I'm doing in ADF. Well, I go and visit James in Tosa a lot, and it bugs me, but I let him get away with it because I actually really love him.
Father James,
yeah, I actually really love him. He's fucking lovely.
He's good, isn't he?
I let him get away with what I wouldn't let Mark get away with saying this to me, I'd snap. But he turned around and he said, he referred to me as our hardest conquest, right? Because he's like, you should just come to church because you get it better than Wayne does. And I was like, that's not the point. And I was talking about training and becoming a Druid priest, and he was just like, Just join the church. We'd have you. I'd put you through it. You'd be all right. You'd pass it in no time. And I was like, not the point, James. And he's like,
you'd have to give up Wayne. You'd have to give up all sorts.
Oh, I'd give up all sorts. No, I'd just say that Wayne's my roommate. Well, they can't argue. Right, and I'd just get, and they have to take testimony from all my friends and family. As long as all my friends and family are in it with me, then fuck off. We'll get through it. If there's a means, there's a way. That's the wrong way around, isn't it? If there's a way, there's a means.
Same difference.
Yeah, whatever. I don't fucking care. Oh, right, okay. It's never done that before. It's telling us that our maximum recording time is 60 minutes. We fucking know. So, what was I saying? Yeah, so I was explaining that it doesn't matter because it's all the fucking same anyway. You know, if I'm a priest in ADF as a druid, when I'm confronted by normal people, just out about in life, I'm going to react in exactly the same way as a Catholic priest or a Jewish...
Rabbi,
that's it. Or a Muslim imam, are they imams? You know, and I'm going to want to help that person. It's not, you know, a priest of any denomination worth their salt is not there to glorify anything. They're just there to serve. That's the point. And I think it gets conflated when people get higher on their own self-importance and think that they can achieve anything other than being of service. That's the fucking point. So get your head out of your ass.
Yes.
And that was the point, because James is of that mentality that you just... Again, Francis, at all times preach the gospel, sometimes use words. That's the whole definition of that, is live it, lead by example, be the thing, you know. You're being held to that point of unobtainable sort of level. If you're being held to those standards, try and live to those standards. And maybe you'll achieve some good things on the way. But every now and again, you can use words. But 9 times out of 10, your job is to try and live to the standards that everybody's trying to hold you to. And I think that's important and hard. Definitely difficult. People fail all the time and you're allowed.
Yeah. Agreed.
Unless you're doing the rosary and you fail once, then sorry. Failure.
Do you...
I went off the tangent then, sorry.
No, that's fine. You don't have prayer beads, do you?
No, because I want a set of jet prayer beads. Yeah, so I'm waiting.
And then we can pray the rosary together.
No, because it won't be a rosary, and that would be stupid.
It'll be a holy rosary.
No, it won't, because it won't have a cross on it, and I won't be praying to Mary.
Holy rosary for Jesus.
You just booped me.
I booped you.
You just booped me.
I booped you.
No, I'm confused. I don't know how many beads to get.
Oh, get as many beads as you want. In varying sizes.
Stop it. Because, like, it's... Yeah, that's where your brain went, wasn't it? That's where your brain went. You disgust me. No.
Pray over your anal beads. And then there's a good way of keeping count. Exactly. It's when you get to 50 that you've got to worry.
As long as the prayer consists of the words, then I'll be all right.
Oh my god.
I don't even know what that's about. I don't even know.
Hey,
and I don't really
the
care.
The noises you make, but that's your business, mate. Right?
Yeah. Pop clip.
Whoop.
what was I going to say? Yeah, the confusing thing about the beads I want to get is 9 is a sacred number, and I don't know whether to get 9 9s, because that would be 81. Or, I was a bit, what was that for? Constipated peach. Anyway.
Sure.
A defecating peach would be amazing. No. Let alone a fucking constipated one.
Okay.
Beads. I don't know whether to get 81 or just get like 90, because that's 3 lots of 3. Just 3 lots of 30.
That's a
90 beads is a lot, yeah. I could make a really easy prayer that would do it, though. Or a mantra. It would just be a mantra. So you could repeat the thing.
Full of grace.
Lord, punch the devil in the face. So you just do the thing 90 times. Which sounds like a lot, but it isn't really.
You say that.
It depends how long the thing is.
Right, I get to 30 Hail Marys.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there thinking, fuck, how long have I got left? How many more have I got to go?
How long does it take you?
So I mentioned this a couple of weeks back when we had our group session on prayer. And I mentioned I do the rosary, and it takes me about 25 minutes.
Okay,
that's about right. And they were all like, oh wow, that's really long. That's really. I normally bang it out in 10 minutes. That's really, really good. I thought, well, okay. I was expecting it to get longer. Like, once I had the mysteries in, like, I thought it's going to get longer.
No, because then you end up doing...
Yeah, but I don't want to do that, though, because then I just feel like you're not...
Because you are doing it, because it's not about... It's not necessarily so much about the words, it's more about the headspace then.
No, I disagree. You're wrong!
You're wrong! Alright. Fuck.
You're wrong! Don't touch me, you whore!
I think it becomes a meditation at that point, though,
well,
doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Okay, so you're right on that part. However.
I'm right!
However. in a book I read, it said.
Alright, Heather.
It said. That there were plenty of accounts of people who had had visions of Mary. I mean, I think this is a bit judgmental, but they'd had visions of Mary, and they'd pray. There was a story of this priest who had Mary had come to him and said, "I'll get these nuns to pray the Holy Rosary every day to make spiritual garments for me." So the whole idea is, oh no. So the whole idea is they pray the Rosary every day, and they basically make a new dress for Mary. A ball gown, honey. Ball gown!
Make it blue!
Oh! Anyway, so they do the whole year. She appears to the first nun, thanks her for her gown, and she's in this radiant, beautiful gown. Thank you very much. Appears to the second nun, and she's in a beautiful garment, but it's not as lovely as the first one. Because the second nun didn't pray as hard. Then she appears to the third nun, and she's in, like, shabby rags, and she's like, thank you very much for my gown. And the nun is, like, mortified. She's like, oh my god, why are you in this? And she's like, well, because, you know, you kind of biffed your way through it. You didn't really put your heart and soul into it. So then they go and they beg the Holy Father and the priest, and he says, yeah, do it for another year. Make her another dress. So they do it, and then they put all their heart and soul into it, and then Mary's there in a stunning, gorgeous, amazing outfit. I don't know how credible that story is. However, the point remains, if you just mumbo-jumbo your way through it, and you know, with your words... And you're not taking the prayers like into consideration, you're thinking about what you're saying, etc., etc. I think it kind of it cheapens the prayer. Because the whole it is about meditation, you're right, it is a meditative thing, but it's also there not just to think about the mysteries, but you're there to think about the words in which you're saying, because words matter.
Right? And I get that. I agree with you, actually, but I think what I'm getting at is if you're saying the words and you're thinking about and you're thinking about what should I have for dinner? How am I going to cook the chicken? Have we got this sauce? How are we going to pay this bill? Whereas,
yes,
if you're going and you're not doing all those other stupid thoughts,
true,
then you're still focusing. It doesn't matter how quickly or slowly you say them. If you're still entering that meditative state, that's the point. It's meant to be there for you to enter this place where the prayer almost becomes that moment of contemplation and of, so the words are then
second to
the meaning behind them, because the meaning is the moment.
Yeah, I need to get better at that, actually, because the last time I did it, I did end up thinking of cock. In the church, playing my rosary, dick in my mind.
Dick in your mind.
Dick in my mind. Okay, so I brought this up on my phone because you were talking about having a prayer. There is the Pilgrim's Prayer. Not that I think it's applicable to you, but you could take inspiration, tweak it, and make your own thing.
Well, like, why do you think I got that book?
But that's full of pagan prayers.
All right, you cut.
Pagan prayers.
Where do you think half of yours came from?
Jesus. They come from Jesus.
Where do you think his came from?
Jesus.
He was a Jew!
They came from the Father, Lord our God.
Shut up.
Don't speak to me like that. Don't speak to me like that. I'm not your wife.
I will never have a wife. I asked a woman once, don't touch me. Fucking stroke my face across the table, you twat. I really wanted you to burn your arm on the candle because I'm a secret masochist. So sorry.
Fine, I would have enjoyed it too.
Yeah, it would have been funny. Anyway, I asked a woman once who the first Christian was, and she went, Jesus, and then nearly died. I nearly died.
Oh dear.
Anyway, funny thought. So
anyway, as I was saying, the pilgrim prayer is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, or have mercy on us, sinners, depending on the version you get. But it's nice, it's very simple. And you can just... You're right, dear.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Is the Holy Spirit upon you? Oh, is it bothered? Is the pagan spirit upon you?
No, I don't want that either.
No.
That's a bit big. That's a bit of a muchness. That needs unpacking before...
A bit groupy.
Yeah, a bit groupy.
Okay.
A bit groupy.
Ooh.
No, not into that.
No.
Well...
Not yet. When you've recovered your strength. When your chungs are a bit better.
When my chungs are a bit better, yeah, I'll be grand. It's great, because it comes back every now and again, then it fucks off.
Yeah.
Like, my voice is gone again. It's like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
You cunt. Sorry. That's a bit aggressive.
So, clergy.
Yeah. I think we're unanimous that we need them.
I agree.
And I think they're important and we think they're important. In the same respect, if you can get on and have a life, there are Christians out there, there are Jews out there, there are pagans out there, there are druids out there, there are witches out there who don't need someone.
Yeah, they're not essential.
That's fine.
But they're important.
They're still important.
Yeah.
And I think, like, if you can get your role model elsewhere, I think that's fucking awesome. I think that's fantastic. I do struggle with those people who hold the gods as role models.
Yeah, don't
because that's a bit much, mate. Chill.
Well, okay, so it's like, different with my faith, because my faith is better.
Grow up.
No.
Grow up.
Mine is the one true faith.
Grow up, mate.
Joking.
Grow up.
No, it's slightly different because of, and I hate to do it, but because of Jesus.
You're going to have to do a part two now, aren't you?
No, well, maybe. Literally because of Jesus, because he was the one who came and showed us the way. So he is, he did.
You do not know the way.
Let me show you the way.
Yeah. These are not the droids you're looking for. I don't know why I did that. I don't know. I'm so sorry, not sorry.
But he did. He came and he pointed out where people were going wrong, what was going wrong, and he gave us a new formula to follow. Jesus is God. So technically, yes. Don't even go there.
That's alright. It's fine.
I slap on your face.
Council of Nicaea.
Yeah, but they weren't... Oh, God. They weren't debating...
Don't ask for his help. He ain't going to help you.
Help me! They weren't... The debate wasn't over, is he God? Majority. It was about the ambiguity of the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is very ambiguous. You read it... If you read the Apostles' Creed, right...
Wait.
There's a lot that...
Ambiguity.
Am I using that word wrong? Probably.
No, probably not. I think I've forgotten what it means.
Okay. It's not very clear. It kind
of So... Okay, so we just got cut off. But start with where you got to with the Nicene Creed. I can trim.
Okay.
Not Nicene Creed. No.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, it was a nice thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. So
they debated. They were debating.
They were debating.
He was begotten, not.
Yes, the whole "he was begotten, not made" thing, because that isn't actually put in the Apostles' Creed. It's implied. There's a lot that's implied in the Apostles' Creed, which is fine if you believe that Jesus is God. The problem is that you've got, if you look at the Protestant churches,
yeah,
the way they talk about Jesus a lot of them don't seem to understand the fact that Jesus is God. They seem to just reference him as the Son of God. They don't seem to get the begotten, not made bit. So the whole point of the Nicene Creed is to cement that, because you look at the Nicene Creed next to the Apostles' Creed, it literally breaks down every single point within the Apostles' Creed. That's why the Council of Nicaea was so important. I agree, they kind of went around it a bit of a aggressive way. They kind of killed the people that didn't agree and tortured them and beat them and whatever.
Yeah.
But the point and the question of is Jesus God isn't really a question. He was God. He came here, he said he was God. He pointed it out, his miracles were abundantly clear. Everything that happened, happened according to prophecy. Everything he did had been prophesied like years before. He fulfilled all the prophecies. So his divinity cannot be questioned.
See, I would apply that same logic.
You can
logic.
Question it,
but no one cares. I would apply that same logic to Taliesin, to...
But was Taliesin a god?
Sorry?
Was Taliesin a god?
He was deified, yeah.
I suppose. Through the exopotheosis.
The same as Jesus.
No, Jesus was God.
Exactly. So was Taliesin. Okay. Ceridwen.
Well, yeah, she's a sorceress, isn't she? She's a witch.
She's a goddess.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No, she is a goddess. She's a goddess. Through apotheosis. Because people decided to say, yeah, she's divine. We've made that decision now. Exactly the same as Jesus. Because people decided. I'm not trying to... I think...
No, it's fine. We can have this healthy debate.
We can have this healthy debate, because I'm not saying it to discredit in any way, shape, or form.
No.
Just to bring the parallels together.
Yeah.
I still don't think you should hold yourself to the same accountability as Taliesin, Ceridwen, or Jesus. You don't need to die for my sins, for example. Because if... I mean, you've already outlived him, but, you know...
Yeah, but I wouldn't, because I'm not God.
No, but in the same respect, you're not... He's not the ideal to which you should be aiming, because you're not... That's...
Well, no,
but you're
yes.
one step up to, but not that.
But if you look at, like, so, St. Francis, the greatest of the saints, that's who he held as his role model. He lived his life as best he could in the way that Jesus did. Or as close to Jesus. He is the saint that is as close to Jesus as we can get. So Jesus
He died of leprosy.
That's fine.
And the stigmata.
That's fine.
And like...
Yeah, but then he went on. To the beyond!
Yeah, did he?
Yes!
Did he though?
Yes, he's in heaven swishing around in like chiffon. Saying hi, Quine.
Who's she?
Hi, Quine. But yeah, Jesus is our benchmark. Like... We all hold ourselves accountable to him because he is the aspect of God that we can actually look at and interact with and talk to. You can't actually look at God. God is too vast and too, like, fucked up.
But is it like holding yourself accountable to him or holding yourself accountable to the example he sets?
Yes.
That's the difference I'm getting
But
at.
You wouldn't do that.
Like if he's the example of
no
what
tea, no
you
shame.
Have to aim
you
to
wouldn't
be.
Do that with a pagan god. Pagan gods.
But I know people who do.
That's so ridiculous.
I know.
Because pagan gods.
Which is what this is the same ridiculousness that I find with people going, I should live my life like Jesus. Like, you're literally not living in, like, middle age Judea.
It's different.
Like,
yeah, but
calm
it's slightly
down,
different, though, because what Jesus did was he gave us a formula to follow.
Now,
whereas
a formula, fine, you can live to a formula, I get that, and there are those.
Whereas
in
a lot of
pagan
gods
practices.
Don't do that.
No, you're right. There are,
you know,
but there are
you wouldn't
a lot more.
Wanna,
of them.
You wouldn't want to live by a pagan god's example anyway, because again, no tea, no shade towards pagan gods, whatever. But like,
though, but
they're
those,
all really fucked up.
Yeah,
like,
but those
all, like Zeus fucks anything
yeah,
that moves.
But in respect, those schools of thought are gone now. So if you, for example, Zeus, if you were to have spoken to a Hellenistic priest, there were schools of learning for. A Hellenistic priest, there were things whereby you live to these examples, and the gods' failings were stories used as examples of what not to do. You know, the gods' failings were that they did something completely different, which we don't do, is they exposed the failings in humanity as things that the gods got wrong. So you didn't do that, and that story was an example of don't do that, don't be a cunt. And I find it really, really interesting.
This is quite interesting, because then you're not actually holding the gods upon a pedestal.
No, you're not. They are divine, but we get our humanity from them. You see? So we fail because they failed. And their divine failures are taught to us as examples of what not to do in our mortal lives.
Right, eat your children.
Eat your children.
Fuck horses.
And fuck horses, yeah, exactly. You know, and but again, we only know that now, and only quite recently, because of things found at places like Pompeii and Herculaneum, you know, and it's archaeological evidence, which means it's suspect to interpretation, you know, and yeah, the problem we have is those formulas no longer exist for those old gods, which is why I'm saying hold yourself accountable by the formula, which is why, again, I'm saying priests are important, because you can't take a pagan god and hold yourself to the same thing like you saying about Jesus. It's not, it's the formula for being Christ-like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those formulas don't exist in pagan practices anymore, which is why we're having to rewrite them, which is why I'm doing the Druid priest work, the Dedicant program, and then the clergy work, because that's a formula that's been written based on a collection of things that we have. So, like, which is why it's Neo-Druidry, because it's a collection of things. Like, the nine virtues are based on Norse, Nordic, Germanic religion. Because there's nine virtues in that. They're not the same virtues, but they're brought to encourage you to live a good and right life. You know, as in not a right by not being
so
a
cunt to
other people.
So when you say Germanic, are we literally talking Nordic, or are we talking Gaulic?
Oh, the Gauls? The Gauls were Druids. No, I'm talking...
we're talking Norse.
I'm talking Norse Germania. German. So the German tribes and the Nordic tribes had similar things and they both shared, but the Gaulish tribes were more like the British tribes and Celtic groups. So I'm not talking about Celtic, I'm talking about specifically Norse and Germanic, which are not the same as Celtic, which is again very confusing, but it just fuck it, who cares? The same as Irish is always considered Celtic and it's not, it's Irish,
yeah,
and Welsh is Welsh, and Celtic is a collection of these things. You can't just say that the Irish gods are appropriate in, I don't know, the middle of France, because they're not.
No.
Because they didn't have, it's not the same. You know, they were Celtic, they didn't share the same gods, they were tribal people. And it's an uncomfortable term, Celtic, that's now being disassembled, quite rightly. Anyway, besides the point, what was I getting at? Yeah, it's that formula, isn't it? And I agree with you completely, and that's the point. That's the priest being held to that formula's ideal,
yeah,
and that's what you're aiming for, and that's their job, their employee, their focus is to live by that formula as much by rote as possible, and your as a follower is to try and emulate that practice that the priest is demonstrating through lived experience, and Jesus is the,
well, because Jesus is God,
yeah, that
you can't. You can't exactly be like him, which is why someone who, like St. Francis, who was as close to Jesus as we can get, still failed. Because Jesus was, aside from Mary, the purest in Catholic like law, was the purest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
Mary was the purest creation on planet. She was pure. She was a creation. See, Jesus, again, was begotten, not made. So...
okay. Oh, I get it.
Do you get it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mary was made. She is a creature of this planet.
Yeah.
She was washed away, like all the original sin and all that kind of stuff was washed away from her. God gave her that grace on the anticipation and kind of background knowledge, because he knows everything, or they know everything, that she would agree to conceive. So God had to be born into the world through a holy vessel. So Mary became the purest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
Whereas Jesus is God. So he's just God. So he isn't a creature that was made, begotten.
Yeah.
But you can't be like that because it's too pure.
And this is what I'm getting at. So like in the same respect in paganism as in Catholicism or whatever, you can't hold yourself to the ideal of a divine being.
No.
You can follow their formula for being as close to, but you can't be them. You can't be like Hecate. You can live by her rules, You can live by her laws, but you can't live by her example.
Yeah.
Because you are not a three-headed goddess. Bitch.
That lives in the underworld.
That lives in the underworld, you know.
And carries around two torches.
Carries around
and
two
keys.
Torches and a dog's head. Like, calm down, dear. You know, and there's a lot of this Hecate stuff. I think it's amazing. Yeah. I'd love to do one of those courses, but I am not shelling out hundreds or even £1,000 for somebody to tell me how to live my
thing
life.
Thing is,
by
though, as well, like, if you did... So off. If you did do those courses by Thingy Miller... What's his name?
Oh, there's more than that.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few.
But you would...
Jason Miller.
Jason Miller, that's the one. You can't just take the course. You've got to do the work, which means for that period of time that you would have to do it, you would have to work with Hecate.
Yeah.
And you'd have to... pray her prayer beads, and you would have to do all the work that goes with it.
Yeah.
Which I don't, I mean...
I couldn't do it.
No.
I don't know about you, but I couldn't anyway. Like.
Well, specifically because you work with the Queen of the Other World anyway.
Yeah. I work with the Fairy Queen and her consort.
Yeah.
That's it. I work with her handmaidens and his...
stable boys.
Close enough.
Ooh, chow.
Yeah, pretty much, like his attendants.
Yeah.
And you know, they're the messengers.
And I suppose as well, because it'd be different if you're working, I suppose if you're working within that what is Hecate? She's Greek, right? It's Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you were working with the Greek pantheon, I think it's kind of accepted that, oh, okay, well, you know, while I'm maybe a devotee, I think people throw that word around too much, but if I was a devotee of Hecate, I could also go to, like, this other god and this other god, provided they were friends and allies. It wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
Whereas your deities work very much within its kingdom. It's a court.
Yeah.
So... you have to, I suppose there's the rules of a court.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the mundane world, if you were a subject of King Henry VIII, for example, and then all of a sudden you were like, oh yeah, I'm just going to fuck off and do some stuff with the King of France.
I'd get told off.
And then come back. You wouldn't have a head.
No.
So if you went off and did that and then went back to the Queen of Elfheim, she'd probably be like, no.
No, because she grants sovereignty. So within regards to taking magic from her realm and using it on something else, you have to have her permission.
Yeah.
There's magic in this world that is inherently mine to use because it was gifted. However, like, if I was to use the magic of the other world to connect with something else that was outside of her remit, if I took something she gave me and used it for something I said I wasn't going to use it for, she'd take it off me again, you know, because that would be a breach of contract. Mm-hmm. And it very much, like, I find it absolutely fascinating how the fairy courts are... incredibly, I think possibly because it's very English, to be honest. It's very English because it's built around the monarchy, and the monarchy in the UK has also developed its own sort of like mythology behind it, which has impacted and influenced the mythology of this land. And I think that's incredible. High kings, low kings and things like that, you know. And it is inherent in our mythology to a point whereby it's now... He's dishy.
Yeah, delicious.
Ooh, somebody just walked past my house and he's beautiful. But it's now part and parcel of that. You can't engage with the king and queen of the other world without them being a king and queen. Like, they are, yeah, they're divine. I'd never call them a god and goddess because that's not their title.
Yeah.
You know,
it's quite interesting, actually, you saying, like, if you did that, she would then take that power away from you. And you've got other sources of magic to use, but, you know... because it's kind of the same way that I approach mine. Like, I'm a Ford... I mean, I don't call it magic in that sense, but I'm a Ford through Catholicism. Not necessarily now, but when I've been done in a few weeks.
When you've been done.
Excuse me.
Snip, snip, snip.
When I've been confirmed in a few weeks and I'm endowed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I will be afforded graces.
Is it like them free pens you used to get when you signed up for a catalogue?
Yes, that's absolutely like
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant. Just realised I took the cup off the coaster and put it on the fucking placemat.
Never take the cup off the coaster.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
But yeah, so I will be afforded grace. which is effectively the same thing.
Yeah.
And like praying the rosary and things like that, you're afforded grace. So through those devotions, through working and praying with these beings, saints, Mary,
Jesus,
and the Holy Father and the Holy Spirit, I'm given grace, which I'm not saying it's like a reservoir of power, but if I need something and I ask for it, it's given. Versus if all of a sudden I'm a really mean cunt that kicks homeless people and eats babies, obviously that's going to be taken away.
Again,
I know, it's a sickness. Yeah. But like that grace is then removed because immediately
I'm doing everything. And that's what's afforded to priests, isn't it?
It doesn't mean to say that I can't then do other things because that's where my secular practice kicks in. Yeah. I can use the energy of the world around me. I can use the energy of like the Psalms, even though prayer grace is taken away from me, the power of those Psalms, because they've been prayed for so many years, it carries weight, energy.
Yeah.
So there's still things I can use, charms, whatever.
Yeah, the secular stuff would still work. It just means
all my grace that I get through praying to God and all that kind of stuff just
would wear out. Yeah. 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 Same.
Should we wrap up then?
Yeah, let's wrap up because it's been a really long episode. Thank you very much for putting up with us and enjoying this episode. You can find us on Instagram at shoveitupyourarwen. I nearly said .com, but that's not there.
That's wrong.
We do have a website. That isn't shoveitupyourarwen.com. It's shoveitupyourarwen on WordPress. I can't even remember the WordPress address, which is not good. That's shit, isn't it? But no, well.
It'll be in the description. No? Okay.
I mean, it is in the description on the podcast, actually.
There you go.
Yeah, it is. Oh, actually, and it's on our Instagram page, so you can find it there. I think it might be .co.uk. Is there anything else? No, not really. Yeah. No, that's it. Anyway, yeah. Thanks very much. And bye.
Bye.